Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living health care fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. You have a concern with me, I understand.
It's not a concern. I'm simply jealous. I heard that you are going to marry, you are going to officiate at the wedding of a nurse, Mary. She met you through the podcast.
Most importantly, she's a listener.
So why didn't she ask me?
I suspected when I told you that you'd wonder.
Sure.
I think it's location. It's simple location.
Okay.
Yeah, Mary.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, Mary's a wonderful nurse, and has to go to different parishes for masses with her shifts, and I'm so happy she really makes that a priority. And she said this podcast kind of is the connector and has come to Christ King a number of times, and we chatted, and so she's excited to have the wedding in this October at Christ King. So I'm excited.
Congratulations
about that.
To them. We've discussed this before. Weddings is one of these things that I didn't look forward when I was recently ordained, and I've come to like them more and more.
So have I. I do a lot at my parishes and really enjoy them.
How is the new year going?
So far, it's been going well. I am going to be going on vacation next week. It's good to get away. I haven't had a vacation in a long number of months, and heading to Florida just for some time of prayer and relaxation. So I'm looking forward to that.
So pray for me while you're on vacation.
I will.
My next vacation is a trip to Bolivia. We are going to be building a new chapel in another place, and I want to visit before we do it.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic trip. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Your parish is this your parish or your community?
So this is my community, but okay. I want to do it through the Lenten campaign, or at least part of it through the parish.
All right.
This is how I can bring together these two loves of my life, my community and my parish, and it's great.
Well, let's get down to business. It's the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. So I'm going to read a gospel. It's a little bit longer, but very, very important as we move forward in the liturgical year to be at this point right now. So where am I going to read from?
You are going to read the beginning of Luke's gospel, chapter 1, 1 to 4, and 4, 14 to 21.
Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, He handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." So just to clarify, you gave the passage. First of all, we're beginning in Luke's gospel here, and then the lectionary skips over several chapters.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're always curious about what's skipped over.
Well, in this case, it makes sense. We are in ordinary time. We take Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, so we have skipped everything that we've read during Christmas, the birth, annunciation of birth of both John the Baptist and Jesus, and then we have skipped also what we will read in Lent, the temptations that happen after the baptism, and then Jesus goes back to Galilee, to Nazareth, and that's where we take the gospel today. It's the beginning of Luke's gospel.
It is, and a reminder, something you mentioned, I think a few weeks ago, maybe during the Christmas season. Remember, Luke and Acts of the Apostles are one work.
Mm-hmm.
Really, they can be considered one book. They happen to be split apart here in the Bible, but Luke, Acts is both written by St. Luke.
Two volumes of the first.
Exactly.
Written by the same author.
So it's always interesting if you have kind of a question about something in the gospel, how did this move along? You might be able to go to Acts and to see what else Luke may say about
mm-hmm.
this. But
mm-hmm.
we're going to be reading Luke's gospel here now for the next liturgical year. That's the primary one, especially during ordinary time. And the introduction here is the only of the four gospels that we know where there's kind of a literary introduction
mm-hmm.
to say, hey, this is what I'm planning to do here. Here's the narrative of events. Here's how I went about it. Here's what's going on here. So formal introduction here.
And it's what in Jewish literature we would call a demonstration. This is someone who is trying to explain something to someone else. We know the Gospels were written for communities, but in Luke's Gospel, we scholars now say that we believe that this is a whole work presented to someone else to fulfill the goals that are expressed in this introduction, that to explain about the certainty of the faith of following Jesus Christ.
A good question to ask is that person Theophilus? So who is Theophilus? That's who Luke is addressing here. And Theophilus, as I understand it, first of all, we don't have certainty
mm-hmm.
about that. Generally, what it means, though, is a friend of God. It might be a formal title, maybe more of a generic address, perhaps not an actual person. Have you understood it that way?
This is what we've always said and believed. Theophilus, Theos, God, and Philos, the one who loves God. So that could apply to anybody. I do follow one scripture scholar that I've known for many years, whose theory is that this is a person because of the way he is referred to, but who knows? Who would know about this? He thinks that this is someone who is a very important person in society, who really wants to know who Jesus was, but really we have no certainty.
So Luke here.
You have lots of notes today, Philip. You have me a little.
Well, I'm really interested in the beginning of Luke's gospel just a lot of thoughts here. Also, Luke here is writing perhaps two, maybe even three generations after the ascension of Jesus into heaven, after Pentecost here. So what he's planning to do here is to say, I want to give a systematic and accurate account.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying here to be as accurate as possible, a theological work and a work of faith, but in fact, really to do this accurately. And so that's really his intention here that he says in the beginning.
Traditionally, we would place the writing, the composition of this gospel for sure after the falling of the temple, which is year 70. The point here is to realize also that it's the best written one, stylistically.
Yes.
Thank you. And it's the gospel of the poor. We usually say that it's the gospel that is more sensitive to poor and women. One very interesting point in this introduction, especially when you move to the second part of the gospel, when he goes into the synagogue, several things. Jesus had to have some kind of formation to be able to preach in the synagogue. That's one of the things that we may have heard otherwise. But for someone to be accepted into the synagogue as the one reading the scroll and preaching about it, because that's what Jesus does, he needed to present some credentials also. The second thing is that he cites Isaiah, which is the prophet of choice of the New Testament writers. All of them, all of the four Gospels normally cite Isaiah. Do you agree?
Yeah.
You have lots of notes today. I'm very surprised.
That might not be in my notes here. You're right about that. And in fact, so you see at the end of the gospel, today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. I consider that in the eyes of Luke, and really a major theme here, is almost the stamp of what's moving forward here, in that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of what really God has been planning through mm-hmm. revelation mm-hmm. in the Old Testament here and now his son. And that's really important. And in fact, why I've got so much written down here is there are a number of things happening in this passage that are just common for Luke's gospel. The first one you mentioned already, you're going to see often in Luke's gospel that Jesus's attention is on the downtrodden, on the poor, on the oppressed, on mm-hmm. the stranger. And that's in fact, they're in fact more accepting of Jesus than, mm-hmm. than those who are in a different place. You're also going to find there's a lot of praise of Jesus. There's some attention, there's some sort of following by the time he begins his public ministry in a week or two in the Gospels.
But you will see, we will have the continuation of this Gospel next week. And it, here it says that people looked intently at him. I'm not sure if that's a positive way or a negative way of looking at someone. I think there is an expectation. People want to know who Jesus is, as we've discussed so many times. The problem is that when he cites Isaiah, he's dropping the last line of that citation where Isaiah called for a year of vindication from God. And Jesus seems to have dropped this. So Jesus will be about the downtrodden, the marginalized, the poor, but he doesn't seem to be so strong in the issue of vindication. And I think that provokes a bit of a surprise in the synagogue, I think.
So as I look at the whole gospel, and I'm thinking about the homily for the weekend, perhaps what stands out to me is just, again, the goal of Luke here, which is simply to say, hey, I am handing this down. I've received this information, eyewitnesses and ministers, but I've received this and I've handed it down. That's really our goal, is just simply to pass on the story of Jesus Christ. I and you, we always want to have beautiful words. We want to be able to just to describe just wonderfully, to captivate someone, mm-hmm. the good news of the gospel. Sometimes it's just passing it on. It's mm-hmm. just very simply. And I think that's what Luke is trying to do here. He happens to do it very well. But we don't have to have just the right words. We just simply pass on because we're witnesses. We pass on that witness. And that's just what I see going on here in Luke's gospel in the beginning.
I see Jesus giving his mission statement. It was very popular at some point, and I think we're still doing it. Parishes write their own mission statements. And Jesus here is telling us what he's all about, what he's going to do. From the beginning of his ministry, he's by himself now. He will call the disciples soon, but he's telling us, and we will read about this in a couple of weeks, but he's telling us who he is. This is his mission statement. This citation from Isaiah, this very powerful citation from Isaiah, is Jesus's mission statement. That's what I may mention.
Okay. Well, excellent. So we've got a few thoughts. I think this is one of those weekends where perhaps more exegetical comments or some, you know, just some things that relate to maybe the setting of Luke, mm-hmm. I think would be necessary, some formation. So some people may hear that in homilies, and I think there's a lot of interesting things to hear about regarding that.
Yeah, it's one of these Gospels where there is a lot to say, and we may have to make decisions on what to preach about, because you could preach about a variety of things.
Right. So how about we come back next week? We're going to continue then in chapter 4 of Luke's gospel. Would that be okay?
I'll see you there.
Have a good day.
You too.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.